Welcome to the Nutramedical Report, the power pack program that activates you, empowers you, and makes you realize that to be silent in the face of evil is to be complicit with it. And if you do not understand the truth and reality of this, just go to truthtellers.org, truthtellers.org. Reverend Ted Pike has been fighting this battle for years and beaten the dragon many times, but now the dragon has delivered a hate crimes bill to the desk of the abominator, the usurper-in-chief at the White House, and now we are in death's door. The trap door to Hades is literally about to be opened, and if you want to see what happens, just look at a nation like Canada that has literally gutted any spiritual freedom to speak with the scriptures against horrors like abortion, against sexual perversion, which has become a den of thieves in Canada. If you don't believe, the culture has been destroyed. Young people are being destroyed. The spread of drugs, sexual promiscuity, and perversions are rampant. Then you just need to look north. And it's actually worse, believe it or not, than in other countries like in Europe. But every nation that the ADL, we call it the, I like your term, Reverend Ted, the defecation league, if you want to call it, bunch of vipers enter a nation, want to now arm the attorneys to start filing prosecutions against those that speak, quote, the truth against things which will destroy the culture and the future morality of the nation. And, of course, people know that I had a situation last week where I had someone complaining because I had Carol Matriciani talking about the rise of Islam and the great Ummah or domination. And they didn't like it, so they complained to some senior people at Genesis, and of course the complaint came through to me, and I said, look, you shall never, ever silence Deagle, even to my own death or imprisonment. And we need to stop this damn bill today. And in fact, here's the situation, and we're going to get Reverend Ted to tell us the whole story, but there's a sublink page here on truthtellers.org on emergency, the Obama to veto hate bill. And this is dated October 8th, just yesterday. We're in a situation now, if people don't understand how late the hour is, you better wake up. Reverend Ted, tell us about this action alert, which I've mass emailed to our people. Some of them may be ticked off at Deagle, but guess what? As they say in the New Testament, if you are not a smell of death to those who are not saved, you are not a stumbling stone. If you are not an offense to those who won't believe or serve the Most High God, you're not a believer, and you certainly are not doing the will of the Father. What's happening in this bill, and what will it do to our culture?
Well, I'll give the folks just a brief background. The hate bill did pass the House and Senate this spring, but the Senate attached it as an amendment to the national annual defense authorization bill, which is a big arms bill supplying funds for our troops worldwide. But America has a golden opportunity right now to actually destroy the federal hate crimes bill. I'm saying that because all spring, President Obama has warned Congress that he will veto any defense spending bill if it asks an extra $100 billion for extra F-35 warplane engines. And all summer long, I've been saying that's a possibility and encouraging people to write and fax and so on to the president, encouraging him to stay true to his promise to veto any kind of arms bill, hate bill that has these extra engines on it. And unbelievably, that's exactly what has happened. Just this last week, Congress came out with their final defense authorization bill, and lo and behold, they're flying right in the face of Obama. They are defying him right in that bill. It was approved yesterday in the House. It says we want $100 billion extra for pork for these thousands of F-35 jet engines. Now, what I'm saying right now is we need to stand behind the president. We need to email in, and I'm in the middle of a lot of broadcasting this week and next week to millions of people, encouraging them to email in two very, very potent emails to the president. And here's basically these two messages which you can send to the White House Gov website. I'll give that address in just a minute. But number one email which I would like people to send in immediately is, Mr. President, I will vote out Democrats at midterms if you sign the freedom-destroying federal hate crimes bill. Again, I'll read that even more slowly. Mr. President, I will vote out Democrats at midterms if you sign the freedom-destroying federal hate crimes bill. We want Obama to know that we're going to take revenge next year at midterms on all Democrats and certainly against him when he comes around for re-election.
And also, by the way, we're raising up, and I'm working with Dr. Fred Grayson, our chapters across the country. I'm the chapter director for North County San Diego Jurisdictionary. We are starting moves in the states where we can to recall congressmen and senators. We are starting to take actions where we can keep them back in their congressional and Senate offices. We are going to start a proactive campaign to neutralize and geld this Congress and Senate that think they can pass these kinds of bills. And we are threatening legal action on every different front possible by citizenry, not attorneys, because in many cases the attorneys are not only too expensive, they don't want to offend their cohorts in the Supreme or in other courts, but we as citizens have to stand up as a legal militia because this is the end of the road. If this bill passes, programs like this and the truth-telling that we do is over because we will have, we will be cooling our heels either in a psychiatric facility for, quote, the criminally insane because we believe that maybe we should be able to talk about the gospel, the truth in the Bible. We need to talk about the truth about the dangers of the invasion of the Islamic fundamentalism into America. We need to talk about the destruction of the morality of the country and the destruction of the unborn. These things, if this is gone, there is nothing left. In fact, if we don't have the right to free speech, and that means free speech of separation and protection of religion from the state, and the original intention was not to separate the religion and the state, it was to protect the church from the state, not the converse. And as a result, we have a horror about to happen, and you just need to look north. As they, quote, harmonize American culture with Canada, they want to degrade our culture to the Canadian, which is extremely low. Just go and live there for a while. Go visit for a while and see how your Christians cringe that you wouldn't dare speak out. And I remember in 2000 being invited to go on the studio, the second largest studios in Canada, it's New Day Ministries in Winnipeg, and was told by Betty and Willard Teason. Willard, of course, is also a PhD engineer in rocket engineering as well as a pastor and a master at the Bible and having many guests from all over the world. But he warned me, don't speak about homosexuality or sexual perversion, or they will literally walk into the studio while you're speaking and arrest you. And they will shut down the studio and seize the assets. Well, believe me, when I spoke across Canada, I did not use restraint. I dare those SOBs to try to arrest me when I spoke a year and a half ago in downtown Halifax, Nova Scotia, against the bill that would protect the unborn from the horrors of dying due to a violent crime, because they had a bill by some conservatives in Canada that would say that there is a second individual killed in a crime, even if they're one day before delivery. The pro-death movement, I'm not going to call it pro-abortion, the pro-death movement wanted to make sure the unborn, even if they were hours before delivery, going through the magic pubic arch, that they were not considered a person. And even though someone like me could resuscitate them 2 or 3 months before delivery in intensive care nursery and much smaller, they wanted to make sure that the unborn are not persons until they magically emerge from the pubic arch. That's an obscenity. It's evil. It's not logical. But it's, again, an example of when they silence the truth, then you die along with the truth.
Well, that's what is weighing in the balance right now. We are right at the crest, about to go down to the slippery slope of a hate crimes bureaucracy with even worse horrors and persecution.
I don't think there's any more slope, actually. I think we're what's called a trapdoor. I think this is a free fall into cataclysm and total chaos with evil and the lies ruling with complete control and silencing any voice of truth. We'll be back in a moment. You better get active now, people. If you don't, you're going to be silenced. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. And you need to blog this. You need to spread it far and wide. And if you don't understand how serious it is, we're going to have Gerald Celente on in about a week and a half coming up. We have Dr. Nick Begich in hour number three. And next week, some amazing shows. But you need to get active on this issue today. and we have some new information. Reverend Ted is not yet on the Obaminator's desk, but it's actually been still voted and argued and so on in the Senate. They've attached this hate bill to the appropriations bill for the F-35, which is an unnecessary $100 billion additional spending that, of course, enrich the coffers of those senators in specific areas of the United States. The corruption continues while the economy, the Titanic of the U.S. economy, sinks. Tell us the latest on that.
Okay, what we have to do is there is White House government, actually it's the White House website, www.whitehouse.gov/contact. That is the White House website. You can cut and paste two very potent statements, which I suggest you send to the president immediately, encouraging him not to sign this arms appropriations bill with the hate bill attached. And just before the break, we had my first email, which I'm suggesting people send. And of course, these are at truthtellers.org. These two suggestions, you can go there on the homepage and read this article. You can get the White House contact information and so on. But the first one said, "Mr. President, I will vote out Democrats at midterms if you sign the freedom-destroying federal hate crimes bill." Now, I have another email I'd like you to send. "Mr. President, I expect you to keep your promise to veto any military authorization bill that wastes $100 billion of taxpayers' money on unnecessary F-35 jet engines." Now, at the VFW convention in Phoenix just a couple of months ago, Obama laid it out. He warned the Democrats. He said, if you put those F-35 engines on there and expect me to authorize $100 billion over the next few years to pay for those, I will veto the arms authorization bill, he said. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing in this new military bill that will go to his desk probably end of next week. And so we want to get behind the president, and we want to say, we expect you, Mr. President, to keep your promise to veto any military authorization bill that wastes $100 billion of taxpayers' money on unnecessary F-35 jet engines. Now, Carl Levin, who's the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, this spring, he said, "We will never send an arms bill to the president that is in danger of him vetoing it." But here, that's exactly what they're doing right now. And they are goading the president. They are betting that he is going to back down. But we have to stand behind him. And it's true, they've made a few concessions. They took out the contracts for the C-17 transports that the military really didn't want. They took out expenditures for a helicopter fleet for the benefit of the president that he really didn't want. But the big-ticket item, the really, really expensive item, is this $100 billion contract for thousands of new F-35 engines. And what we don't want to happen is that the president, behind the scenes, you know, the ADL, the homosexual lobby, powerful Democrats, whatever, are going to work on the president and say, "Mr. President, you ought to just give way here and go ahead and let the engine deal go through." We want to stand behind the president. We want to stand behind him and say, "We expect you to keep your promise to veto any military authorization bill that wastes $100 billion of taxpayers' money on unnecessary F-35 engines." Now, this week, just yesterday, the House of Representatives passed this new authorization bill for the F-35 engines. The Senate debated the whole issue and the hate crimes issue very heatedly on Tuesday, but they didn't quite come to a vote, which means we've got a few days next week to keep hammering away at the president, sending hopefully thousands of emails to the White House website, with these two basic recommendations, that number one, we're never going to forgive or forget if he does sign this hate bill, arms bill deal. Number two, we expect him to keep his word to veto any arms bill that has F-35 engines on it.
Exactly. Now, this also fits in with some recent skirmishes that the Abominators had with General McChrystal. And I've just got the report. I tell people to go to Joel Skousen's newsletter and get that newsletter, World Affairs Brief. The latest one, October 9th, is quite amazing. It deals with this whole issue of him having a half an hour on the tarmac in Europe with a meeting by McChrystal after he criticized Obama's approach. McChrystal wants to massively expand the war in Afghanistan. And in fact, this is what always happens. Whenever our economy starts to crash, they want to go to war. And the next war is one that can never be stopped. This is a war that will eventually expand into a full-blown global third world war. And it needs to stop now. It needs to stop with funding the F-35. It needs to stop with expanding weapons. It needs to stop with saber-rattling and attempting to allow the Israelis to do an attack. But it's also a very good time for us to kind of restart, as Gerald Celente says, the second revolution. The second American revolution is not just a revolution against the Fed Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve, but against also easy believism, so-called Christianity, which was not easy for those who came to America. The real believers know that when you walk the pathway of the Most High God, you are going to be persecuted, spat upon, and you're going to suffer. But our God is God, and we need to take up our cross. We need to take up our stripes on our back, and we need to stand up and say, look, we're going to speak out in the capitals of our cities and our country. We're going to not tolerate hate bills. We're not going to tolerate cults in our country that are going to allow violence to grow. And we're not going to tolerate foreign policies that are insane. And the first thing is freedom of speech. And if we don't have this country under the umbrella, as I say, my favorite scripture is Psalm 91:1. That's my 9/11, years before 9/11. That was my favorite scripture. And the reason is that those who are under the wings of the Most High God are protected. And if you're not, in God's will, you are out. And believe me, you do not want to be out with what's coming on this whole world. Just look up to Canada and you'll see what happens to a country that gets degraded and destroyed internally and rots from inside, culturally and spiritually. Like Canada, where abortion is unbelievable, where aggressive euthanasia is unbelievable every day, where I had people from Europe, from Netherlands, that have told me they've never seen such aggressive euthanasia in Canada compared to the Netherlands and Europe, where people think it's so bad there.
Yeah.
The Germans are in a state of shock. Canada is the most aggressive nation on the planet for even going after children with Down syndrome. I have two situations. In fact, in the last year, my wife was the director for the Down Syndrome Association in Nova Scotia, and she just and we moved, of course, a year and a half ago here to Southern California to come back to America. But they had doctors. A doctor, for example, wanted to go to Ontario, Canada, and was told he couldn't move there because it's totally stable, didn't need heart disease surgery or anything. Son had Down syndrome. And if you have a child with a birth defect, discovered an ultrasound, or they know that has Down syndrome, they'll harass you day and night to abort your child. Is this what you want, people? Do you want them telling you that if you talk about sexual perversion to your kids, you can't tell the school, they can't talk about it? Yeah, sure. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. And by the way, if you're on my mailing list, I sent a massive email to, you know, thousands and thousands of people that have subscribed to Nutramedical, and if it pissed you off, too damn tough. How's that? Because there's only two groups of people that count at your funeral or memorial, those that love you and hate you and everyone else. Like the Italian driver that says, how come you don't have a rearview mirror? And the Italian driver says, what's behind me, no matter. Nothing behind you matters. And if in fact, if I piss you off enough, it might save you from physical death, or as it says, Yeshua HaMashiach said, the spiritual death that's coming. And if you don't think that there's hellfire waiting for you, if you don't speak out, and don't think that you're a real good believer because you have this kind of emotional experience in your plushy carpets and your programs and your big mega churches, and you don't speak out when you belong to organizations like Focus on the Family, if you really are focusing on the family, you're going to speak out regardless of the legal or other consequences.
Absolutely. And, you know, really, this, if there ever was a day and a time for national fasting and prayer, it's right now.
You better believe it.
Everything you're saying here on the spiritual level is so important. Our organization, of course, is called the National Prayer Network, and my father, my brother, and I did play a pivotal role in helping establish it back under President Reagan in 1980. But we need to come before the Lord now with consciences which are purified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus and through repentance, and humbly bow forth before Him and ask Him specifically that He will intensify this rivalry, this competition between this National Defense Authorization Bill and the Congress versus the President, who says he doesn't want it if it includes these fighters. We don't want any kind of reconciliation or toning down of the conflict. We want the Lord to go in there. And you know, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it any way he wants to. And what we need to pray is, Lord, heighten the tension between Obama and the congressional Democrats, that they can be absolutely irreconcilable on this issue, prompting the anger of the president to veto the arms bill with the hate bill attached to it.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing that I want people to realize. They need to pray for this man, who I call the usurper-in-chief. They need to pray that he actually becomes a president like John F. Kennedy when he was faced with his own mortality, with his Addison syndrome, etc., and his sexual impropriety and other things aside. The brilliant man that Obama is, the brilliant man that John F. Kennedy was, he did become a president. And when he spoke at Georgetown University against the Fed Reserve and against the CIA and their incursions and causing wars and disruptions in countries, when he became a president, he was our last president before they slaughtered him in Dealey Plaza. And you, Obama, you need to stand up and become our president. You are not yet our president until you can stand up to your own people doing evil in this country. Okay?
Well, Obama is being criticized for indecisiveness in the war in Afghanistan, and that may contribute to him being inclined to show that he is strong. He's going to stand by his word. He is going to defy the Democrats. He is going to win this veto threat against them with this arms bill, with the F-35 extra $100 billion. And so again, we need to stand by him by getting at least those two emails that I have read here today, messages in. And again, I want to remind our listeners that this article that I'm reading with my two messages to Obama is right there on the homepage at truthtellers.org in the upper right under emergency alerts.
Exactly. Now, here's the key issue here, and you've been fighting this for a long time. There's not just this bill. There's another five bills that are coming through various stages. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Well, actually, Bill, we've had a couple of major victories here. About 10 days ago, I sent out an emergency alert saying that five new hate bills were surging through Congress. That would include the federal hate bill. But what happened was people have been so preoccupied, legitimately, of course, with the health care reform controversy and so on, that the ADL, the homosexuals, and so on, Democrats have been moving through four more extremely dangerous pieces of Orwellian legislation. The first was the cyberbullying bill, which is ADL's legislation, which says that it's a crime, a hate crime, punishable by 2 years in prison to even intend, quote-unquote intend, to cause substantial emotional distress in a homosexual over the airwaves. And then there was another bill just behind it, which is called the AWARE bill, which would fund, to the tune of $125 million over a five-year period, public education in the public school systems of America against criticism of homosexuality, against blogs and websites that were critical of homosexuality, or probably Zionism, and so on.
Oh, Islam will be at the front of the list.
Massive educational program, propaganda program, again by ADL. Now, what happened was I sent out alerts about this stuff, and nothing, very, very little came in. And then there was a hearing. A hearing went ahead on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which makes it a federal crime to discriminate against homosexuals in hiring and firing in businesses in America. And what happened was everybody was looking at the health care issue. The Republicans were distracted by it. The people were distracted. No protest was coming against of these other three bills I just mentioned, and the end of hearing was held and in the Education and Labor Committee in the House, and Barney Frank, homosexual Barney Frank, homosexual Tammy Baldwin, they got up and they had a field day. And out of 18 Republicans in the Education and Labor Committee, only one Republican had enough background or nerve to even criticize the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. So I immediately sent out an email to everybody as telling them about this deplorable situation, and that the people reacted. There was an avalanche of calls came in as I instructed the people to warn the House Judiciary Republicans against these two new bills, the cyberbullying bill and the AWARE bill. And we got a lead there about 3 days, in which Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas, who's an arch hate bill fighter, he got in there and he called at least three constitutional experts to be witnesses in that hearing. And when it was held, even the head of the Subcommittee on Crime, Bobby Scott, was appalled at what the cyberbullying bill wanted to do. And all these legislative experts, they trashed the cyberbullying bill. And in fact, Linda Sanchez and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who were the sponsors of these two other awful bills, they could hardly even open their mouths. They were so outclassed by these world-class constitutional experts that Gohmert brought in. And so the whole hearing was a disaster for the liberals and the Democrats and the ADL, virtually destroying those two awful bills. And the next day, the New York Times, Popular Science Magazine, and other very influential websites again mocked and trashed the cyberbullying bill in particular, basically sealing their death in this Congress. Now, I'm telling you all this to say that within just the last 2 weeks, we've seen two major pieces of ADL legislation absolutely destroyed because the people acted and the people spoke out at the decisive moment. And that's exactly where we are today. We're at a decisive moment, a decisive position of advantage, when we actually have the president saying he wants to destroy any kind of hate bill, arms bill combination that has too much military pork on it. So, there, you know, Shakespeare says there's a tide in human affairs which you've got to seize at the proper moment and ride the crest to its fulfillment, and that's exactly where we are. We're on the crest of a wave here of tremendous advantage, possibly to destroy the hate bill in this section of Congress. So everybody, if you haven't got all the information here, come to truthtellers.org. They're on the homepage. Get the address, get the proper phraseology of these emails, and get those in there, because we have a couple of days here now next week which we can still fight for freedom before those bills come to the president's desk.
Absolutely amazing. Do it today or else. Literally or else. I'm literally saying, if we don't do this, forget about programs like this. Forget about Genesis. Forget about any free speech. It'll be gone. Welcome to the Neutral Medical Report, and welcome to the USSA, the United Soviet States of America, about to be under the abominator. We want to be backing him up to actually get a backbone, speak out against those people that are pushing the defense bill for the F-35 useless and wasteful Raptor, which is not going to be of any use. And believe me, you don't want to start World War III. And his little battles with General McChrystal, General McChrystal needs to get some duct tape over his damn mouth, because if further incursions into Afghanistan is just going to result in more dead Americans, and as they further try to expand into Iran and into Pakistan, to Waziristan, to try to, quote, get the loose nukes. The fact is that all of this is a perfect opportunity to get Obama to actually be and act like a president, not like an actor from the Actors Guild of Presidents, and actually stand up to his own people to say, no, you attached this to the hate bill, to the defense bill. And I said to the veterans of foreign wars that I wasn't going to permit this kind of thing to happen. And we need to hold him to his word.
Absolutely. You know, in the previous Congress, we had a very similar situation in which the hate bill did pass the House, did pass the Senate, and yet it couldn't pass the final vote before it went to the president because of questions and a rebellion there against an arms bill that wouldn't provide terms for withdrawal from Iraq. And it shows that even though a bill can pass the House and the Senate, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to become the law of the United States. And here, in a kind of a deja vu, we have the possibility of a last-minute deliverance. Now, the Anti-Defamation League, who, of course, is behind all this hate crimes legislation worldwide, they think they have really got it in the bag now. In fact, yesterday in the ADL Daily Alert, they said this: the end of the legislative path for the hate crimes bill also marks the beginning of the next campaign.
Ooh.
And what is that next campaign ADL is talking about, looking forward? It says it's training prosecutors and law enforcement officials about the new law. And it says ADL stands ready to help lead that continuing effort. Now, phase two now is a heightened ADL instruction focusing on how to not only bring prosecutions against Christians and free thinkers, but also how to get those people in jail, get them behind bars, remove them from the internet, remove them from the pulpit, remove them from the airwaves of America. ADL is already saying they've got a new campaign now of training the legal, formulating the legal apparatus of a hate crimes Gestapo coming to America.
Yeah.
That's what's on the line here, folks, this week. This week will decide whether we become a hate crime Gestapo-like Canada, ending free speech, or we still have at least another year or two of freedom before the next Congress. So
right.
Everything depends on your willingness to take 5 minutes of your time. Go to the White House government website. Again, that address is www.whitehouse.gov/contact. And go to Truth Tellers again for these simple messages. I'll just read them both quickly. Number one, type in, "Mr. President, I will vote out Democrats at midterms if you sign the freedom-destroying federal hate crimes bill." And number two email I'd like you to send is, "Mr. President, I expect you to keep your promise to veto any military authorization bill that wastes $100 billion on taxpayers' money on unnecessary F-35 engines." If we can get Obama to do nothing more than stand true to his promise he made at the VFW convention in Phoenix this spring, that he will veto an arms bill that has $100 billion extra on it, then we will have destroyed the hate crimes bill this term of Congress. It doesn't have time to go through all the machinery again and be reenacted. We will have destroyed basically the flagship of the ADL's hate bill armada in this Congress. So everything depends on that. And how could anybody say, well, 5 minutes of my time to cut and paste a couple of emails is too hard for me? Absolutely not. Our founding fathers, they went out at Valley Forge and they endured the coldest winter in history in rags and tatters and starving in order to give us this freedom. And people say, well, I can't spend 5 minutes at the government website, the White House website, to send in these messages. Yes, you can. You have your children and grandchildren to think about and what they will say as someday they might be in a gulag shivering in the cold and say, my father or my mother or my grandfather didn't have 5 minutes of time to send a message to the president to save and stave off this kind of destruction that has come upon us. Yes, we do, each of us, have an obligation now before God, before our country, before our grandchildren, to speak out and do the right thing.
Absolutely, and I believe that because it's coming so close to the November Thanksgiving Day break, that any legislation introduced after that will roost home at the midterm elections, and therefore they're in a panic to shove these bills through now. And the failures they've made in the last few weeks with ENDA, et cetera, means that we have them on the run and we should pursue them all the way to the end of the battlefield.
Absolutely. The Democrats have to do all their dirty work in the first half, the first year of a Congress, because if they're on the downhill slope toward the midterm elections, then they have to adopt this family values image in order to get their Democrats reelected. And so by the first end of the first year, it's no more pro-homosexual, perverted legislation that they can indulge in on their agenda. They've got to do it now. So this is the pivotal time in history when all good men and women have got to come to the aid of their country.
Yeah, absolutely. We are now at a time where, as Gerald Celente, who will be on in approximately a week and a half, this is the time of the American Second Revolution. And America, as John F. Kennedy said, is a shining city on a hill. They have chipped away at the Constitution in the courts. They have chipped away at the operations of the Congress and Senate to actually do the will of the people and represent the people. And that's the reason why the first revolution happened, because there was no taxation without representation. Our representatives do not represent the people, and the will of the people is we will not tolerate hate crimes legislation. If someone incites a crime, there's plenty of bills on the books to deal with someone inciting violence against any person or group. But there is nothing that would allow a bill in any conscience to say that if someone says something that's the truth, if I'm reading and I have a DVD with Carol Matriciani about Islam, or if I talk about a sexual perversion, and I read their own documents from NAMBLA, or I read the Hadith, or I read something from some cultic group that's here in America, then that is considered a hate crime to actually expose the truth. And in fact, in the Patriot Act 1, they say if you use a strong argument with good evidence and intellectual power, it's considered a form of intellectual terrorism. That's the actual term in the Patriot Act 1 document. Now, we need to realize that speaking out and speaking the truth in plain speech is the very basis of what it is to be an American.
Yes.
And we need to have this go to other nations. Nations like Canada see that in America, and that's why they had this recent victory against their own hate bill that's been there for 30 years. Let's talk about that for a moment, because it means that Canadians are going the other way now. They're saying this is violating their Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and yet, under the Soviet system of the abominator, the Marxist-Leninist usurper, we have marched with these Democrats and a few rogue Republicans toward a Sovietization of America at the speed of light. But their game is over soon. We only have about a month left, and anything after Thanksgiving, they cannot do any more dirty work, and they will be gelded, they will be castrated by the midterm elections, and this will be a lame duck president on the waning days of his days flying around Air Force One and arguing with people like McChrystal that want to expand and start World War III.
Yeah. Well, up in Canada, they've had a reversal of the top hate crimes tribunal head Athanasius Hagian actually ruled against the Canadian Internet Hate Law, Section 13.1, saying it was unconstitutional. And this, of course, made the Canadian branches of the ADL furious that he would rebel against them. Up in Canada, they're sick and tired of this oppressive hate crime system since they've had since 1971. And paradoxically, the Liberals, the Democrats now, are wanting to move us away from free speech and First Amendment rights into exactly the same kind of misguided experiment that has tortured Canada for the past three decades. Let's not let it happen. Let's speak out boldly now. If people have email lists or access to other media, let's get the word out. We have only several days this next week to loudly protest to the president at the White House website through emails, but also come to truthtellers.org there. And we do have this latest article with all of these instructions I've given you today.
Absolutely. And go to listen to Alex on Monday with Reverend Ted.